Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I want you to imagine that today you're in a coastal town that is experiencing rain. Not a stretch today, is it? Here's a story, and maybe you've heard this story before, but if you had, I'm going to tell it anyway. Good. It's a story about a coastal town that's experiencing rain, but a lot more rain than we're getting today. It's a town that is experiencing some really torrential sort of a travesty level of rain. The waters begin to rise and flooding begins to take over the community. Now, there's a particular man who lives in his house in this community, and he sees that the waters begin to rise, and he does a good job of, you know, getting up to the next level of his house as the waters rise, and he turns to God. He begins to pray. And as the waters continue to rise, he's up on the roof of his house and he's continuing to pray. He's very faithful. God, save me. I know that you can save me from these rising waters. I know that you can. God, just help me. Well, as he's praying, somebody comes by, a woman comes by on a kayak. She says, I've got room on my kayak. Come with me. I'll get you to higher ground. I'll get you to safety. And the man says, No. I'm praying my God will save me. He has deep faith. The waters continue to rise and the man continues to pray. And comes by a small boat with a powered motor. And the person in the boat says, come with me, I'll get you to higher ground, I'll get you to safety. And the man with a dwindling amount of roof left for him to stay dry says, no, my God will save me. I've been in prayer all day. And so reluctantly, the person in the boat motors off to see who else they might be able to save. Eventually, a Coast Guard helicopter comes overhead and drops down a ladder. Says, climb up the ladder, we'll save you, we'll take you to higher ground. And the man on the roof, with very little room left, says, no, I've been praying, my God will save me. The waters continue to rise and the man drowns. And he finds himself face to face with God. And he has some questions. God, where were you? I was praying. I asked you to save me. God said, I sent a kayak, a boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want from me? God helps those who help themselves. And when we think about that story, it's a phrase that maybe has a little bit of truth to it. Sometimes I frame it this way. You can pray all you want to win the lottery, but you got to buy a ticket. Now, like good Methodists, we probably don't buy lottery tickets. But the idea that we must participate is an idea that frankly resonates for many of us. I'd like to read a scripture from you. We have a number of psalms that we'll be reading among some other things. And this psalm is Psalm number 10. It's a couple of verses that are a little bit spread out. But I think that we can do this in a way that makes sense. This is Psalm chapter 10, verse 14, and then 17 through 18. This particular psalm we might connect especially with the story that we just heard. Beginning with verse 14. But you do see troublemaking and grief, and you do something about it. The helpless leave it all to you. You are the orphan's helper. Lord, you listen to the desires of those who suffer. You study their hearts. You listen closely to them to establish justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that the people of the land will never again be terrified. I confess to you, I mixed up two of the psalms. There's one that references water that comes a little closer to that. But this is a psalm that expresses a deep faith in a God who will save us. But yet we still might resonate with the idea that we have to do our part, that maybe we need to meet God at least part way. And I confess, I think that might be true. I was thinking as the handbell choir was playing this service, I wonder what might happen, how the handbell choir might sound if two of the folks in the middle just stepped back and stopped playing. Like, how would we respond to that in here? Well, why isn't God playing those handbells? I'm not saying God's not capable of that thing. I believe in a God that's all-powerful. But it sure sounds better when we have the full member of the bell choir up there, doesn't it? We can't expect God to go over there and pick up the handbells. Because I think, frankly, that God does amazing things through people like us. God helps those who help themselves. We still think about it. It still resonates for us. But I'm not sure it's something that has all truth in it. You know, we're talking about this series. It's based on a book by Adam Hamilton called Half-Truths. I'm not even sure this one gets a half-truth. I think maybe it gets a third truth. That's how Hamilton phrases it in his book. It's a third truth. Because, yeah, it's important that we participate in our faith, but gosh, if we really think about that phrase, maybe that's not the whole part of it. Throughout the sermon series, we've been using a video illustration. A couple of guys named Eric and Andy, they're roommates and sports fans in the Midwest, and they help us see some of the folly of some of these statements by taking them to extremes. And we have another video with Eric and Andy that we'll see now. You see how when we take it a bit to an extreme, we see how maybe ridiculous that phrase can be. Yes, I do believe that we need to participate in the things that might be something that guides us a little bit closer to our relationship with God. You all did something yourselves today. I promise you did this today, and go with me on this. Today, you made a decision to show up in church. Like, I assume that if you're here today that you made that decision. I don't think anyone made any of us. Right? The kids have left already, right? Most of them. Okay? So the rest of us who were here, we chose to be in a community of faith today. And I think that we can come into a deeper sense of faith when we choose to gather together in a community. Like, we can do it on our own, and there's certainly value in that. I got to tell you, I think that we can come more quickly and more deeply into our faith when we do so in community. You all chose to participate in community today. But what about those who simply can't help themselves? We, as a part of this congregation, offer a profound ministry each and every week that serves a homeless and underprivileged persons, both in terms of a meal, but also medical and dental and acupuncture care. It's an amazing thing. But as I've had the opportunity to be in a part of this ministry for the last several years, I've also had the opportunity to build up relationships with some of the folks who, frankly, are some regulars here. There's one particular gentleman, I'll call him Donnie. That's not his name, but we'll call him Donnie for the purposes of this story. I don't think Donnie can tell me how long he's been without a home. I just don't think he has that sort of recollection. For him, it's most of his awareness that he hasn't had a home. Donnie's had a number of issues that make it hard for him to remember this stuff anyway. He's had a stroke. He has mobility issues. He's lost in his vision in one of his eyes. He's a veteran, and I sort of wonder a little bit about some post-traumatic stress related issues. He's someone who, it's not hard to argue, can't pull himself up by his bootstraps, as the common phrase is. Right? And we hear things all over the place about, well, you know, you just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to help yourself so that you can make the next step. I don't think this guy can do that. And I'm not trying to demean him. I just think that that's the reality for him. He can't pull himself up by his bootstraps. He can't help himself in such a way that will get him into a place to live. I don't think that ability is there for him. We'll come back to Donnie in a minute. I want to read another scripture. This is out of Psalm 18, verses 6 and 16. In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I called to my God for help. God heard my voice from his temple. I called to him for help, and my call reached his ears. From on high, God reached down and grabbed me. He took me out of all that water. Now, I don't know if Donnie is the praying kind of guy. I just don't know. It doesn't strike me as the praying kind of guy. Like, he calls me Pastor Bob. He knows how I'm affiliated with this congregation. But he's not one who's been interested in prayer, in our conversations. He's not one who's been interested in having conversation about a higher power. And yet, something tells me that God continues to hear him. You remember the way that Paul writes about the Spirit that prays for us even when all we have is groans. Right? In the same way that I think Donnie is sort of at the bottom of his ability. Again, I'm not blaming him. Just I think that's his circumstance. I wonder how many of us have ever felt like we're sort of at the bottom of the barrel in terms of what we can handle, about what we can do. And maybe that's in a physical sense, and maybe that's an emotional sense, maybe that's in a spiritual sense. Ask yourself if you've ever felt where you're just on your last leg. You've hit rock bottom. There's nothing you know of that you can do to get yourself out of whatever you've been in. But then think about what happened next. Like, you all made a choice to be here today. Maybe you're still in some sort of spiritual or emotional rock bottom. Or maybe there's something that showed up to lift you up. Maybe there's someone who showed up to lift you up. Think about that circumstance for a minute, about whether or not at a place where you were in sort of the deepest sense of darkness that you can imagine experiencing, that there is someone there who is a light for you. And maybe that was God, and maybe that was a friend, and maybe that was a stranger, that there was an opportunity to know light when you thought it wasn't there anymore. Maybe that was for you that sense of help when you couldn't help yourself. I know that I felt that way. And I wonder if you have too. I talked with Donnie just this last week. And he told me that someone had had a conversation with him here this past Wednesday night from an organization called Veterans Village. Maybe you've heard of Veterans Village. Who offered help to Donnie, not because he was asking for it, not because he's able to do much for himself. But it looks through Veterans Village as though Donnie's going to have a place to live starting this coming week. That's great news, absolutely. But can you see, this? Because this is the way I see it, that God is offering help to him even when he has been unable to help himself. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that kind of help shows up through people. Just as I ask that you might think for yourself about a place where you've been sort of at rock bottom, a spiritual or physical or emotional destitute place, and whether there's something or someone who has helped you to get out of that place. Because I believe that most often, when God helps us out of those horrible and difficult places, God does that through the people around us. Sometimes people we know and sometimes people who are strangers. But I think it takes a sense of faith to look at those circumstances and say, ah. And sometimes it only happens in hindsight. That's where God was. That's how God helped me out. I have another scripture to read for you. This is Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. It goes in this way. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My friends, we all have needs. I was a psych undergrad, and so I studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maybe some of you have studied psych and understand. And Maslow recognizes a set of physical needs that pretty much we all have. You know, things like food and shelter and clothing and health care. But Maslow also recognizes that we need something beyond those spiritual needs, beyond those physical needs. We need spiritual things. We may not name them all the time as spiritual, but we need to know that we're cared for in an emotional way. We need to be loved. We need to have someone to love, someone's to love. We need to have a community. I believe that in the times when we feel the most helpless, that our needs are met. I believe that our experience can be that our needs are met maybe by amazing people, amazing friends, amazing strangers. And I think that the place that that help comes from, no matter the method that it shows up, is that it comes from God. The last thing I want to talk about this, and it gets into a little bit of Wesleyan theology. See, the idea that God helps only those who help themselves really, I think, disregards an important part of Wesleyan theology. As we have talked about John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, the one who established, accidentally, the Methodist movement, I should say unintentionally, he's a very thoughtful guy, a very well-read and well-studied guy, and he talks about something called grace, and he talks about it in a particular way. See, he talks about something called prevenient grace. He talks about justifying grace and sanctifying grace. And his idea of prevenient grace is the idea that grace is available to us before we know that we need it. Think about your relationship with God and how you got into being in church today, this Sunday. Maybe you grew up in the church. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church. And at some point, something led you to be a person of faith. Even if you continue to have doubts, even if you continue to question, those things are okay. But I submit that there is something that brought you, if you grew up in the church, to continue in a life of faith when you could make your own decisions, or if you didn't grow up in the church, that brought you to church in the first place. And in the Wesleyan tradition, we often talk about that as prevenient grace, that idea that God calls us before we know that we need God. And then when it comes to those times of doubt and questions, justifying grace, the grace that transforms us, and then sanctifying grace, that continuing relationship with God where we continue to get to know God, we continue to grow in our faith, we continue to become fully committed persons of faith. But for each of us, there's that time or that period where we, for ourselves, chose our faith. And I think if we say things like, God only helps those who help themselves, then I think that defies God's gift of prevenient grace. I'd like to invite you to do something. As we're people of faith who are affirmed in God's prevenient grace, as we're transformed in God's justifying grace, as we become more holy in our relationship with God, I invite you to think about how you might be a presence of help. You know, when we think about God helps those who help themselves, and maybe we think about, oh, it's important to participate when we can, but also recognize that there are some who are simply unable to help themselves for any number of important reasons. That we might have the opportunity to be the presence of God who helps someone else. I want you to think about the circumstances that are present in your life now, but also to be open to the circumstances that present themselves going forward. That you might be the help that someone needs. That you might be the presence of God. That you might be a sense of spirit and hope and light and peace and love. I invite you to think about how you can be those things, whether it's a circumstance you're aware of now or a circumstance that becomes open to you. How can you be the one who is a help to someone who is completely helpless? As we enter into this time of prayer, I offer the reminder simply that on Communion Sunday, and this is indeed Communion Sunday, we often sing the Lord's Prayer instead of speak the Lord's Prayer. And so if that's something that might be new to you, don't worry, we'll lead you through how that goes. It's a sort of a sung and response kind of prayer. So you'll be led through how to do that. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your presence, your comfort, not only in us, but through us. As we think about times that we have felt helpless, we are grateful for the reminder that you work through so many, and that we too might be agents of your light and love. Help us not only to know you and to experience you, but help us to be open to the ways that you might use us to spread your light and your peace. Holy God, we lift up all these things to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in song in singing our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us all. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.